This is the sermon for the 13th. Let us pray together. Loving God, you have gathered us in worship today to remind us of your love sent to us through your Son, Jesus. Today we come longing for your presence to be made real in our lives and in the world around us. So come, Holy Spirit, open our eyes to your grace at work. Teach us to be compassionate and to always work for justice. Help us not to feel entitled to the gifts that you give us, but to live with gratitude for all that you have entrusted to us. And send us out into the world to boldly share your love wherever we go. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. During my first year of seminary, I received an email containing a job opportunity in the state of Vermont for the following summer. There was a small church, United Methodist and United Church of Christ, partnered together in one ministry, whose pastor was taking some much-needed time for spiritual renewal, and they needed a pastor to serve them for the summer. As a first-year seminary student who thought she could do anything, I eagerly applied for that job and found myself traveling up to the very northern tip of Vermont for an interview. Dave and I drove up through the White Mountains, marveled at the views, until we got to a small town on the Canadian border. We ate dinner that night in a restaurant that had snowmobiles in the parking lot and elk in a pen behind it. The next morning, we attended church and I interviewed with their staff parish committee. Things went well, we enjoyed some time together, and Dave and I headed back to Boston. I felt so good about that interview. Waiting for a few weeks, soon the call came, and I learned that that church had decided to go with another candidate. I was heartbroken. Before that time, there wasn't a job that I'd applied for that I also wasn't offered. I spent time interviewing and preparing, building up my hopes for a summer in New England, serving God's people in that little church. But with one phone call, my entitled attitude fell flat on its face. They had given the job to someone else who was already clergy and had a PhD. She was much, much more qualified than I was. But that didn't stop my brain or my heart from thinking that it should have been me. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus tells us a story about guests who have been invited to a wedding banquet. When the king's servants go out to welcome the invited guests into the banquet, something odd happens. None of the guests who were invited wanted to attend. Each of them decided they had better things to do, and feeling entitled to the invitation, they refused the king's offer and went about their other business. Some of the invited guests even beat and murdered the messengers just to get their point across. We are too good for your banquet. When the king learns of all that has been done, he sends out his armies to punish those who refuse the invitation, and his servants invite others to the banquet. The servants invite all kinds of people to the king's banquet, good and bad, those who would be considered worthy of an invitation, and those who would not. And when they all come, something odder still happens. Upon surveying his party, the king comes across someone who's not dressed appropriately, and he throws that person out of the party even after getting a last-minute invitation. I don't know about you, but I'm not always ready for a party when someone invites me. But this person decided to show up. But being really honest about this parable, I have to say that I like the Gospel of Luke's version a lot better. In Luke's version, there are no armies that are sent to kill those who felt entitled to invitations but refused to come. In Luke's version, Luke is specific about the servants and who they were told to invite. They were told to invite the poor, the crippled, and the lame to the banquet. those who had been left out of society. And this whole mess that happens in Matthew about throwing the underdressed person out of the party doesn't appear at all. Still, Matthew's version has a place in our reading and in our dialogue. Matthew's version of this story, which we read today, teaches us a lesson about his context and was likely written about 10 years after the fall of Jerusalem to the Romans in 70 AD. During that time, the Jewish and Christian communities of Matthew's day experienced persecution and terror regularly. Christian and Jewish leaders fought with each other, and both were persecuted by the culture around them. Matthew's version of this story, although different from Luke's, has something to teach us with all of its odd additions to the story. The point of this story, as it's told in Matthew, is to remind God's people about judgment, invitation, and the kingdom of God. Wedding feasts in Jesus' day were typically different than our typical American wedding. And that's true of many feasts. A feast was a way to display your family's wealth and status. They lasted for days at a time, and all who were present were able to eat and drink as much as they wish. It's likely that as Jesus began to describe the feast in this story, all who were listening were imagining what it might be like to be invited to that kind of a feast, much less to that kind of a feast that was hosted by a king. In their minds, they placed themselves at the king's banquet table, eating and drinking till their hearts were content. And just as they were imagining those things, Jesus pulls the rug out from underneath them. What guest in their right mind would refuse an invitation to the king's wedding feast? And what guest in their right mind would kill the king's servants while refusing to attend that banquet? In Matthew's version, the guests refusing the wedding feast felt entitled to say no. They overestimated the strength of their relationship with the king, and they decided they didn't want to, or they didn't need, the king's invitation. If you contrast that with the others who actually show up at the banquet, you find something entirely different. The servants were sent out to get anyone and everyone they could find to come to the party. Those who were poor rejoiced with gratitude for the king's invitation. Those who would never be invited anywhere put on their very best clothes and came to the party. The good news in this story is for all of those who were welcomed to the party. After the original guests, the king's friends and local dignitaries refused his invitation, the king didn't waste any time filling those seats. He instead sent out his servants to find anyone and everyone to come. No one was checking IDs or status at the door. No one was determining if every entrant to the party was worthy of being in the king's presence. Instead, they were invited to come and celebrate. And there's plenty of grace in that. When we look at this parable, we can see the invited guests behaving in two ways. The first set who refused to come as entitled, and the second set who showed up at the last minute request as grateful. Because the initially invited guests felt entitled to the invitation, they also felt entitled to refuse it, to mistreat the king's servants, and to go on about their daily lives without regard for the gift of the invitation itself. And as Matthew points out in that story, it didn't work out so well for that first group of invitees. The second group, though, responds to the invitation with gratitude. They go to their homes, put on their best clothes, all except for one of them, and they show up at the wedding feast grateful for the invitation. They jump on the opportunity to be a part of something bigger than themselves. They get excited about what the king has offered to them and respond with eager gratitude. Those guests didn't look at others around the room and think they had more of a right to be present than they did other people. Those guests simply looked with awe and wonder at where they were and what the king had done. Friends, you and I are like the people in this story. All of us invited to the king's banquet. All of us have been issued an invitation to be a part of the kingdom of God. But it's up to us to decide what we do with that invitation. We could easily respond like the first group of people, feeling entitled to the invitation and thus underestimate its worth and value, pushing aside the invitation to life with God because of our own merits and how hard we've worked. We are good people. Of course God would invite us to participate in the kingdom. But entitlement gets in the way of true gratitude and good stewardship. When we think we deserve the invitation, when we think we've earned what we have rather than seeing what God has entrusted us with as a gift and a blessing to be shared, we fall short of God's call on our lives. In our entitled attitudes, we take for granted the gifts that are meant to be shared, the invitation to the banquet. But we could choose another way. We could respond to God's invitation like that second group of people in the story, to put on our finest clothes, to come to the feast and to marvel in what God has done for us, to have gratitude and thanksgiving for all that God is up to in our lives and in our world around us. The folks who received that second invitation didn't worry about who else was at the table. Instead, they found themselves captivated with gratitude for receiving an invitation at all. And so it is, or it can be, with us. Friends, you and I are not invited to participate in the kingdom of God on our own merits. It isn't something that we should brag about, like Paul brags about his abilities in our passage today. You and I are invited to participate in the kingdom of God because God loves us, all of us, and only for that reason. We are invited to participate in the kingdom because God has plans to change the world through us. When we offer our lives in gratitude to God, when we offer the gifts that God has given us, God can change us and God can change the world. God changes the world through us as we give our time, our talents, and our treasure. We do that by releasing our entitled claims and allowing God to work in us and among us, offering all that we have and all that we are in gratitude back to God. The truth is, if Rockport wants to continue as a church, if we want to reach out beyond our doors and make disciples, if we really want to be the church in the world, then we first must lay aside our entitlement and pride. If we really want to be the church, then we must commit to being in this together, to caring for each other and those around us, to working together, to doing the hard work of healing, and offering all that we have to God in community. The truth is that all of us are invited to the banquet, and all of us, every single one of us, is needed. We cannot hold anything back. We cannot decide not to show up and not to participate. We are called to give all that we have, remembering that none of us is entitled to the invitation and to the grace that God offers to us in the first place. All of it is a gift, and the proper response to a gift is gratitude. So friends, the question for this week is, how will you respond to God's invitation? Will you respond by naming your accomplishments, by patting yourself on the back and bragging about all the good you have done and passing the invitation by altogether? Will you let the things you think you're entitled to get in the way of being grateful for the invitation or of giving back to God what belongs to God in the first place? Or will you respond with gratitude for the offer? Will you put on your best clothes? Will you offer all that you have and come to be a part of what God is doing in your life, in our church at Rockport, and in the world? Friends, may we each respond to the invitation that God offers to us with gratitude. And may we work together to help others accept that invitation as well. Amen.